ಯದಾಚರಿತಿ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠಸ್ತತ್ತದೇವತರು ಜನ ಸಯತ್ ಪ್ರಮಾಣಂ ಕುರುತಿ ಲೋಕಸ್ತತ್ ಅನುವರ್ತತೆ. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಬೈ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ. ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಚರಣಾರ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿಧಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಜಗದ್ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಕಿ ಜಯ. ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಆಕ್ಷನ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ಕಾಮನ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಫಾಲೋ, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಹೀ ಸೆಟ್ಸ್ ಬೈ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪ್ಲರಿ ಆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಪರ್ಸ್ಯೂಸ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ. ಪೀಪಲ್ ಇನ್ ಜನರಲ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ರಿಕ್ವೈರ್ ಎ ಲೀಡರ್ ಹೂ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಟೀಚ್ ದಿ ಪಬ್ಲಿಕ್ by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manusamhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Om Tat Sat.
ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಾಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರೋನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನಾಹಿ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭಿಸ್ತಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ ಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತ ಪಾದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಂಸ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗನ ರಘುನಾಥನಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾದಂ ಸಹಗನ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಂ ಶ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪೀಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಕಾಂತ ನಮಸ್ತುತೆ. ತಪ್ತಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಂಗೀ ರಾಧಬೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರೀ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತಿ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ. ವಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯ ಸಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯವ ಚ. ಪತಿತಾನಂ ಪಾವಿನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ನಮೋಂ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಗೋಪಾಲಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೆ. ಶ್ರೀಲಾ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಸ್ಯ ಸಾಹಿತ್ಯನೇನ ಪ್ರಕಾಶ ವಿತರಣ ಪ್ರಚಾರಂ ಕೃತ್ತವಾನ್ ಸಾಧು ಭಗವತ್ಪದಾಯತೆ ನಮಃ. ನಮೋಂ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೆ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಸುನ್ನಿವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣೆ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಸೊ ವಿಲ್ ರೀಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಒನ್ ಮೋರ್ ಟೈಮ್. ಯದ್ ಯದ್ ಆಚರಿತಿ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠ ತತ್ ತದ್ ಏವತರ ಜನ ಸ ಯತ್ ಪ್ರಮಾಣ ಕುರುತಿ ಲೋಕಸ್ತದ್ ಅನುವರ್ತತೆ. ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಆಕ್ಷನ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ಎ ಕಾಮನ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಫಾಲೋ, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಹೀ ಸೆಟ್ಸ್ ಬೈ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪ್ಲರಿ ಆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಪರ್ಸ್ಯೂಸ್. ಸೊ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗಿವೆನ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಜನಕ್ ಮುನಿ, ಸಾರಿ ಜನಕ್ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಒನ್ ಪ್ರೊವಿನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಮಿಥಿಲಾ, ಕಿಂಗ್ ಜನಕ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ದ ಫಾದರ್ ಆಫ್ ಸೀತಾ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೈ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗಿವೆನ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ just before this shloka, he said karma naiva hi samsiddhim asthita janakadaya. He is saying king such as janaka attain perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. So here he is starting, Krishna is giving an example that who are the leaders. A child, when he is grown up as a baby till 5 years, he thinks his parents are the leaders, and they are the natural leaders. It is, of course, whatever the parent says, he obliges, he follows. So he acquires certain behavior by the different instructions and guidelines or standards set by the parents. The second leaders comes from the example by a teacher. So he goes to school,
to associate with someone, music or whatever it learns. So he learns from there, and that is also the second level of leadership, which is coming from an example, and the students learn from there. And then when he grows, then he finds someone in the community, an artist or a sportsman or many other different varieties of leadership qualities that exhibit, and people tend to follow. Now when you become adult, our real leader is who? We see political leader, those who are setting examples for us, or those who are social reformers, or there are many institutions which becomes the leader. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. And the second one is, which is coming up, there are different varieties of leaders, like political leaders, spiritual leaders, sports leader, and many other leaders, which is coming up as an example, which implants in our heart, and which manifested that kind of ideals or whatever standards they are setting up. We go across that and we build our habits or we build our activities. So here, let's see on the leaps movement for whatever the leaders are there. There are many varieties of leaders. Just like in an organization, those who are having power as a position, there are different varieties of power. Power as a position, power as a knowledge, power as an influence, and power as just as a natural power. Means somebody maybe is a general manager, vice president, whatever it is. They have the position power, by that they influence. Somebody may be very expert in his knowledge, in his works or something. He may be also having power because of his expert knowledge. Somebody have general personalities, means by their different personalities, they exhibit certain qualities and they possess power. And there are, naturally, there are people, those who are very relationship-wise, their relationship, you know, they build so much of networking relationship and they also become powerful. So in all these essence, you see, these are organizational behavior it is coming up right now. When Krishna is saying, if you say that I wanted to be, somebody was saying that sportsman like that, I wanted to give my son's name against the sportsman, you know, whoever, basketball or baseball or whatever it is saying. Because it is in his mindset, he's derived from looking into his popularity, his fame, his opulences. We get attracted. Just like, because a common man always gets attracted by different opulences. So for me, as an opulence, as if I am a girl or something, the opulence is whoever is beautiful, whoever is the Miss World, or that is their leader. They follow the standards in this way, how their dress style is, how their food habit is, how their eating style is, and many other things we follow. There are people, those in my office also, they follow like Michael Jackson. So how they're dressed, how they're like, how their behavior is, all the things they attribute, they have never met him, they don't know it, but they follow some of the qualities, how he possesses, how he does in the fragmental period. So here, in this shastras, now coming back to all these things, in the mundane world, we see many varieties of knowledge we gain from different sources. Likely, we get it from societies, we got from communities, we got from parents, we got from books, we got from here. There are many other sources. So varieties of sources, varieties of information which is influencing our minds to become a personality like this. So we have our natural behavior, natural talents, acquired, and there is secondary part is called acquired behavior and acquired talents. So the natural talents is which is within you. Even though you may not know, you may be a good singer, but nobody has given you that opportunity. But that remains as an untapped potential. There are some acquired behavior, which is even the scientists, they try to establish that. Acquired behavior means a lion, they put it into a, with the animals of goats, and they find the, how the acquired behavior is. So that remains. But natural behavior always supersedes with the acquired behavior. So once the lion will be in touch with another lion, then he will be able to demonstrate or exhibit his own qualities. So here the point is, when we find out different sources of information is coming from TV, radio, books, and many other sources, we get influenced by that and then we understand what it is. From Vedic sources, what is the influences we are getting? There are three different sources which we get the knowledge. And that is called, what are those three? न्याय शास्त्र श्रुति एंड स्मृति दोज थ्री वेज यू गेट द वैदिक इन्फॉर्मेशन विच इज कमिंग टू योर हार्ट मीन्स न्याय मीन्स वेदांत सूत्र लाइकली दैट इज सूत्र प्रस्थान इट इज कॉल्ड प्रस्थान न्याय त्रयोवादी मीन देर आर थ्री सोर्सेस ऑफ नॉलेज विच विल कम टू यू फ्रॉम द वैदिक स्टैंडर्ड्स वन इज बाय श्रुति स्मृति एंड न्याय और वेदांत सूत्र सो वॉट आर दोज द फर्स्ट वन न्याय शास्त्र इज कमिंग फ्रॉम ऑल द वेदांत सूत्रज आई विल कम टू दैट वॉट इज द वेदांत सूत्र इज श्रुति इज उपनिषद दिस इज श्रुति स्मृति इज भागवदगीता दिस इज स्मृति न्याय भागवदगीता महाभारत दिज आर ऑल पुराण्स दिज आर ऑल स्मृति सो दिस स्मृति यू आर गेटिंग नॉलेज श्रुति ऑल्सो यू आर गेटिंग नॉलेज एंड वेदांत सूत्र दैट इज ऑल्सो द न्याय शास्त्र वी आर गेटिंग नॉलेज सो थ्री प्रस्थान इज देयर प्रस्थान मीन्स दिस इज द एग्जिट पाथ विच इज कमिंग टू आवर नाइन होल्स बिकॉज वी हैव नाइन गेट्स वी एक्वायर नॉलेज फ्रॉम different gates we exhibit different knowledges from there just like eye nose two ear one tongue the skins the anus and genitals the, all are the holes nine holes in the body so acquire knowledge and the most knowledge is coming through the ear but as you advance the mundane the more you become gross the more knowledge you acquire through the eyes just like now people are giving more focus on to their vision What I see, Apple presented iPad or somebody has presented many other things. It's a visual effect which is so much illusion. There are illusion in the eye, there are illusion in the ear and the eyes. So similarly, these three codes, these three nyaya or prasthan which is coming to us to give us knowledge to discriminate between what is good and what is bad. What is to be followed, what is not to be followed. What is right, What is wrong? What is standard? What is non-standard? What is my ultimate goal and what is not? These three sources gives you that discrimination. Because Shruti, when you call Vedanta Sutra, when I call the first, let's talk about the first one, Vedanta Sutras. Vedanta Sutra means a minimum expression of words to convey a bigger message. That is called sutra. In the meaning of sutra means when I call or a formula, let's say you are doing so many things, you just do in, I just want, give me in five words. Whatever big thesis you have written, give me in five words. Or quality is our principle, somebody said. One ex company said that quality is our principle. Or customer value is our motto. That is the sutra. From that sutra, they derive many things. So similarly, the Vedic shastras, the Vedic scriptures, which is coming up, the Naya, and let me read through a couple of things, which is in our thoughts, a process of, which Prabhupada has mentioned in many of his translation and purport, which is saying that, which has, just like we see the different Vedas, now we understand, going back to the Prasthan Nyaya, we understand that the Vedanta Sutra is the first one. In the Vedanta Sutra, which is divided into four chapters, or chapter is called Adhyaya. So first Adhyaya, second Adhyaya, third Adhyaya, four chapters. Just like a book written, like it has 18 chapters. So similarly, the Vedanta Sutra, which has been written in four chapters, And each chapter consists of four different varieties of, which is called pada, means subdivision. Four divisions of, in each chapter, four divisions. So how many it got? Like 16 pada, that is called padavali. So this 16, the Vedanta Sutra contains. And what is the theme of that? When Vyasadeva is such an intelligent person, he has written the Vedanta Sutras. He is the compiler or author of the Vedanta Sutras. When written, So when he wrote about the first four chapter, and each chapter is divided into four categories, four divisions again. And then each division has five different strategy. That means the theme which is directed to attain one objective. Suppose I gave you to write a book something, then you divide into table of contents, the index, then many other things. But in this one, you just understand. That's why by understanding this, you will understand each statement of what it means. I'll give you one example with explain that, what the meaning of Vyasadeva as a leader. He's setting an example. He's setting a standard. And that is the one which Krishna is also saying. And Vyasadeva is also an incarnation of Godhead. And when he's saying that the five different subjects matter, that is called Adhikaranas. And in that Adhikaranas, it is the first one is Pratigya. Second one is Hetu, Udaharan, and Upanayan, and Nigaman. So, the Pratigya is a determination, or I am determined to do something, or some, let's, giving an example will be much better. Hetu is likely cause, Karana. And then Udaharan means, you know, it's an example. And Upanayana, which is must be directing to comply this. And then first is Nigamaya, which is complying from the supplement. So first Vedanta Sutra, who knows the first aphorisms of Vedanta Sutras?
The first one is Athato Brahma Jignasa.
Very good. Thank you very much. The first one is Athato Brahma Jignasa. That is the one which is starting with. Athato Brahma Jignasa means I have to inquire about the absolute truth. So what it is? This is Pratigya. This is the starting point, just like in our modern English, we call a pregnant statement or pregnant sentence, which starts from the paragraph. And that paragraph must comply with the first statement. You cannot make an illogical paragraph, which is first statement is something you are doing, I saw something in South Africa, and then you go to somewhere else which has no meaning. It must be correlated, logical, for a right poet or the person who is composing the literature. So this is the basic, the codes for writing the English literature. So similarly, all the Vedic literature is so perfect. So why not you follow the perfect, what has been described, follow the leaders, and you understand the value, how they put in the Vedic scriptures. So in the Pratigya, you see his Athoto Brahma Jignasa is the first statement which is giving as the Vedic scriptures, as the Vedic sutra, or in that one, the next step will be Hetu, means what are the reasons for it? What are the he defined the next step is, what are the reasons for Athoto Brahma Jignasa? What are our reasons? The reasons for it, because we are spirit soul. Aham Brahmasmi. If you are a spirit soul, then you need to inquire about where you come from, where you are going, what is your destination, what is the spirit soul's behavior is. So that is Hetu. And as long as the causes are defined well, then Udaharan is given. Why Udaharan is coming? Because even though there are tactical sutras are there, by reading it out, you may not make any analysis of that. So you need to have something called examples. Then you say that examples, Plauji, can you give an example of what you mean by that? Then it is much clearer. The examples are always given not to divert the topic, rather to bring you back to understand it in comprehensive length and breadth. So that's what a Vedanta Sutra, Puranas, sometimes Mayavadi philosophers, they reject, Puranas means it is for the third class people or lower grade of people, they will not understand. It is definitely meant for unintellectual people, those who cannot understand the Vedanta Sutras. That does not mean that it does not have a value in this context. If you see, combine with Pratigya, combine with Hetu, then you understand where the picture Udaharan. You cannot just take Udaharan and forget about the Pratigya, forget about the causes and the reasons. So once you understand that, what the Upanaya is, the Upanaya is, Upa means close, just like Upavas and Upanayana, Upa is close. So this theme, what is the theme of the topic in the first chapter, of the first division? The Upanayana has to gradually become closer to understand the complete knowledge and give you a rational behind all these things. For example, Athato Brahma Jignasa, this is our Pratigya, we find out the Hetu, the reasons for that Aham Brahmasmi, I am part and parcel, Mame Vansa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We find out that we are part and parcel of God. And that is the reasons to understand or supplement our Pratigya, which is Athato Brahma Jignasa. And after getting that, then we got to some Udaharan, means some examples. Many examples has given a spirit soul, like Ajamila is dying, And there are many examples, likely when a person is dying, a small drop of Ganges water is thrown into his mouth, he is going to spiritual world. And there is a king who was going to drink water in the bank of the river, and he just heard about 15th chapter sloka, one sloka, Urdha Mulam, just two words, and he went to heavenly planet. So these are examples to strengthen your faith or strengthen your understanding. It does not disassociate with the main topic or the main theme of which Vyasadeva is writing about the Vedanta Sutras. So this theme must gradually be brought nearer to the understanding. What is the main understanding is Yathada Brahma Jigyasa, that I have to inquire about the absolute truth. Vadanti tattat bija yas jnanam adyayam brahmeti bhagavaneti brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaneti sabdayeti. That this spiritual realm has three aspects of God realization: Brahman, Paramatma, and Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I have to inquire about the absolute. So how deeper it is, how understanding is clearer, how understanding is deeper. Today my understanding may be clear, but tomorrow it may be deeper, more deep dive. It is not the same topic, Athada Brahma Jigyasa. Your understanding will be deeper by coming to the Upanaya stage. And in the divisions, those sutras give you, supplement the first one, the Pratigya. Now, the last one will be Nigamaya. The Nigamaya comes into picture of all different supplements of different scriptures. Just like Prabhupada always says in Bhagavad Gita, he will say, okay, this is referred from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 4, Text 21. Oh, this is from Katha Upanishads, this chapter. This is from Padma Puran. This is from Brahmanda Puran. These are all the things which will give you some broader view. Vedanta Sutra is one portion, which is the conclusion of the... There are many Vedas. So, when you find out Nigamana, in this section, the last one of the theme, which is created by Vyasadeva, he is developing a sort of final estimation of you. Now you see that, okay, we played in America, let's say basketball, we understand it, we determine what to do, we made our strategy, we execute our plan. Now the next step will be either to compare with tennis or compare with soccer, compare with table tennis, compare with hockey, compare with other sports, how they are doing it, or compare with other countries, how they are performing. So then you will have some length and breadth understanding of those, your strategy is aligned with your execution or not. So in this one, when Vedanta Sutra has been presented by Vyasadeva, this theme has to be calculated or understood by the audience. So that means that Vedanta Sutra, we understand, or sometime it is called Brahma Sutra, don't we get confused, it is the same thing. Just like people call Janmashtami, some say Krishnashtami, some say Krishna Jayanti, whatever it is, but the same thing. So it is also called Brahma Sutra, Vedanta Darshan, and Mimamsa Sutra, sometimes it is mentioned. But there are all, it is Vedanta Sutra which is referred to Sri Vyasadeva's writings. So why we are understanding this one? The reason is, first thing, we need to set a leader in our heart, in our mind, in our vision. Because without setting a leader, you cannot really choose a path. Here the path is there, this path is there. Now, the question comes, by following the Vedanta Sutra, it does not dictate you which path you need to choose. It will give you the picture. Who is what? You understand that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. You understand that I am the spirit soul. Then you understand that this and that. Many other aspects are clear to you. The next step will be, what is the next step? That's why the fourth chapter has been divided into, first two chapters have been dedicated for Sambandha Jnana, which is the relationship. Who am I? I am related to Krishna, or I am related to God, or am I related to you? I am related to you, I am related to you. It is said that every person with six kind of networking or six links, he can relate to anyone in the world. Means I can relate to Bill Gates. How? Yes, I can say my wife worked in Microsoft 2 years ago. and Bill Gates is the founder of Microsoft. So three links. I can relate to, in South Africa, some person. Six ways you can relate to it. There are many ways you can establish relationship. But what is our true relationship? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jiver Sarupahaya Krishna Nityadas. That is our Sambandha Gyan's conclusion. That is the sutras. This is the sutra which is derived from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Jiver Sarupahaya Krishna Nityadas. That by following Krishna, you establish a relationship. The first two chapters is dedicated from the Vedanta sutras to understand about the relationship. Sambandha Gyan, then only you will know the Abhideya Gyan. Means even though I understand my relationship, so what next? The sadhana bhakti comes into picture. That by gradually you proceed towards performing all these austerities, tapasya, why we do it? Nobody does it without knowing the sambandha. Because you do for something else. You don't do work in vain. You go to work, there is a cause for it. That you earn money, and you perform the work, you get the results. So similarly, whenever you are doing a tapasya, somebody is doing, okay, I am fasting in Ekadasi. Why are you doing it? Because to purify yourself or to satisfy Krishna. In the beginning stage, we purify our body. And in the higher stage, we just do for a duty, which is Krishna is saying that just perform the work just for the duty as being as a leader. Because in the next slokas, you will see Krishna is saying there's nothing in this work which is binding me, nor I have an aspiration. Name karma limpanti, name karma phalaspriha. Krishna is saying that I do not have any ambitions for any results of any work. Neither this karma is binding me. So why am I doing it? So that is the one, by establishing the sambandha gyan, you will know it. And then the final stage is prayojan tattva. Prayojan tattva means what is the necessity of those activities, or what is the necessity of my sadhana? What is the end goal? Who is my vishaya? Krishna. If my vishaya, my sense object, if that becomes a vishaya, so I am a vishayi, I am a karmi. But my all these activities dedicated to the lotus feet of Krishna, then I am a bhakta of Krishna. So here, all these things, you understand it from different perspective. Now, final word is, how do you determine that whom to choose as a leader? Now, you find out from different sources, from many varieties of information, you got it. So you understand, we understand what is the philosophy, I understand what you're saying, okay, good, clear. I know who am I understand all. But how do you choose a path which is very difficult to understand? Sometimes people fall into the path and they be as a member and they join. Some people, it takes time to choose a path. What is the spiritual path? Even though there is already intense desire to choose it or to follow or pursue a path, but still they do not find it. The important part is establish a link with the leader. Now I find out here, let's say, for an example, just see, for the sake of, not necessarily need to take it there, I accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord and I find Krishna as my leader. So when you find Krishna as a leader, then you need to find out what activities he does, what instructions he has given, what I have to do it. First thing he said, that Krishna has a guru. When he came to here, he has a guru. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he has a guru, he followed a guru. Let's say follow him as a guru. And next step is, we don't see him, Krishna, as here. Let's say for the sake of that, we choose Srila Prabhupada as a leader. Not necessarily I need to follow it, but for the sake of accepting in a spiritual context, we understand that, let's assume Srila Prabhupada as a leader. So once you follow, once you understand the leader, what are the characteristics of a leader and what are the things you need to define? So there is 26 characteristics, let me read, which is a pure devotees, and that will determine our steps of understanding whom to choose, whom not to choose, what to follow and what not to follow. So here, if you see, so the 26, the qualities of a devotee, not, it is devotee means they are also leader, because those are, if Krishna is the leader, his devotee, pure devotee is also leader. First one is, he is very kind to everyone. He does not make anyone his enemy. He is truthful. He is equal to everyone. No one can find any faults in him. He is magnanimous. He is mild. He is always clean. He is without possessions. He works for everyone's benefit. He is very peaceful. He is always surrendered to Krishna. He has no material desires. He is very meek. He is steady. He controls his senses. He does not eat more than required. He is not influenced by Lord's illusory energy. He offers respects to everyone. He does not desire any respect for himself. He is very grave. He is merciful. He is friendly. He is poetic. He is expert. He is silent. So in this section, we say that these 26 qualities, these are the qualities of a leader actually. But nowadays, it is very difficult to find out. So whatever leaders we are choosing in here, there, that's okay. As long as we don't take into our heart. Maybe if you are going to somewhere else in a sports, we need to really accept a leader to go for it. Or if you are going to hit Shraddha, this is the one, your name, he is, means giving your really heart to someone's lotus feet. That is the real faith. And that is the one we are lacking. The reason is, there is always a friction, or there is always a hesitation from our end to proceed further, to submit or to surrender to a leader. In Mayavadi school of thoughts, this difference here is, what is the necessity of surrendering, or what is the necessity of submitting to a great leader? Because the reciprocation here is, when you surrender to a great opulence in material world, you are considered as a slave. I mean, suppose two countries are fighting, one country really surrenders, then he has no existence. But in a spiritual terms, if somebody surrendered to a higher spiritual, it's likely it is for his own benefit. That the other person who has surrendered, it is for his own benefit. In this sense, when Srila Prabhupada, he has given an example that when you understand Krishna as your supreme leader, then you understand that there is 12 Mahajan. Who are the 12 Mahajans? Anybody knows? Swayambhur, Narada, Sambhu, Janaka, Kapilo, Muni. Prahlad, Bhishma, and Balir, Vyasakira. Yeah. So there are 12 Mahajans. So we got Kumar, Kapilo, and Janaka, Bhishma, and Vyasakhi, Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Swayambhu means Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Narada. So you go from a top-down hierarchy that you find Krishna, now you go next to who are those leaders. So these are the 12 leaders or 12 Mahajans which has been given in the Vedic scriptures. How do you follow this? Now you understand what are the qualities. What are the prasthan we have to get it? From Naya prasthan, from Shruti prasthan, from Smriti prasthan, from which way you wanted to get it. We got varieties of informations to understand our knowledge or to strengthen our faith. Now you understand that whom as the leader we need to choose. Let's say choose from the 12 Mahajan. Take Prahlad Maharaj. Just for example, you can choose anyone because Narsingh Chaturdashi is coming. So Prahlad Maharaj, you take all these 26 qualities, he is equal in everything. Does he have a material desires? Of course not. Does he have an enemy? Even though somebody is thinking him as an enemy, but he doesn't have an enemy. He doesn't think Hiranyakashipu as his enemy. Even though his father, even though he is torturing him. Does he wish welfare to all? Yes. Even though he is a demon friends, he is instructing them how to become a good devotee, how to become faithful to the Lord, and he converted them as a devotee. Now take the Bhishma Maharaj. So many varieties of leaders he can choose from the spiritual realm which has been given in the Shastras, and you can refer back that all the personalities, those who are surrendered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, they are always transcendental. They have possessed all the good qualities. Even though if you see, which is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, that Harao Bhaktasya Kuto Mahat Guna. Means it said that if a person is not a Hari Bhakta, then Kuto Mahat Guna means where is his good quality? Kuto means where is his good qualities? Harao Bhaktasya Kuto Mahat Guna. Manorathesu. It is said that by this illusory energy, they will be always directed. How powerful, how expert he may be in the material world. But if you are not a devotee of Krishna, if you are not a devotee of God, then you really do not, in the other hand, you do not possess anything. Because you are not a devotee of Krishna, on the other hand. So now he say, all the 12 Mahajans, they have different mellows, different rasas with Krishna. Bhishma is, which is rasa, is fighting spirit. With that he is pleasing to Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj is by, in the 9 devotional services you can find, he is smaranam. Bali Maharaj is atmanivedanam. He is submitting everything to Krishna. When he was 3 steps, Lord asked him, then he gave 2, and the last step he was still not able to give to Krishna, and Krishna has captured him, put him in the rope, bind him, still he was not frustrated and disgusted, and he surrendered, and then finally he said that this is the head, you can put my stuffs. At that time he was giving a philosophical example that look at your friend, King Indra, what he is doing. He even sending you to get like a beggar, to get the entire universe. That is his position. So do you follow Indra? Yeah, he is also a devotee. He is also in the category of the devotees. You can follow a devotee. But pure devotees are this one which has been mentioned. Now coming back to all these things, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to Vrindavan, on the way he went to Banaras. And when he appeared in the Banaras, that time he stayed with his devotee like Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar. Those are the devotees who are there. They were asking and staying some time. So at the time, the Mayavad sannyasis, they are very powerful at the time. The Mayavad sannyasi have their different titles like Tirtha, Ashram, Saraswati. You know, you see some Saraswati is coming. These are the titles, high grade sannyasis. What is that? Tirtha, Ashrama, Saraswati. And then second class of sannyasis are also Bana, Bharati, all these things, you know. So Mahaprabhu taken initiation from whom? Kesava Bharati. So Bharati is a second class sannyasis. He is not even coming to the first class order of sannyasi from a Mayavadi school of thought. But nowadays so many nonsense, they don't follow neither Sankara, nor neither they follow any Danda, nor anything in a white dress they are preaching. The whole cult of spiritualism, they are thinking it's ascetics. But anyway, so the Prakashananda Saraswati, he was a high grade of, Saraswati means definitely in a high grade of sannyasi from a sannyasical point of view from Mayavadi school of thoughts. So based on their title, you will know where their position is. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived there in Banaras, these devotees are saying, I am really very troubled. Just imagine somebody tells about Prabhupada something and how he'll feel it. Oh, he doesn't know, he chants and dance. So when they are saying that your Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just, he's dancing and singing, he's a sentimentalist and all, whenever he's saying. So they do not bear that their leaders had been targeted for comments or criticism like that. So they approached Tapan Mishra to Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu said, okay, he went back to Mathura, Vrindavan, and while returning back again, he stayed there. And then again, they submitted the same proposal that's happening like that, please do something. By Lord's divine arrangement, one Brahman came and invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to their assembly of sannyasis, where they are performing a sannyas discussion about spiritual knowledge. While Prakashananda Saraswati was there and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also invited. Here Prabhupada gave an example about the quality of a leader, a quality of a acharya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, he was not puffed up like any other that I can show off anything. He went there, he washed their feet and sat on the very filthy places in that assembly. But by his effulgence, neither he was asking for, he didn't give me cushion, big one, he didn't ask for anything like that. Or he was not mentally dissatisfied that there was no such greater respect for me or something like that. But he was sitting on the side. So this is the one we said, they never desire any respect from others. Thinadapi sunichera, tarorapi sahisrana, amanina manadena, kirtanya sadari. In Sikshastrakam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying like that. So when he goes, but finally when the sannyasis, Prakashananda Saraswati personally comes and he was trying to take, oh, you are a great sannyasi also, you are our friend because you are taken initiation from Kesava Bharati. But Mahaprabhu is, no, Kesava Bharati, you know, I have taken from a second class sannyasi, is not that elevated. He was giving his position. He is none other than Supreme Lord. So in that case, when he was again asked, then he went and then he tried to convert. It's a long story. But finally, he converted them all as a devotee of Krishna. And they engaged in chanting of Hare Krishna by his philosophical discussion with them. Then he was giving many other examples. It is not that a devotee is bereft of spiritual knowledge or understanding of Vedanta Sutras. Or it is not a monopoly they call that they are Vedantists. It is not their monopoly that they are the Vedantists by the calling. Vedanta has been given. What is there in 15th chapter Krishna is saying? Vedasya sarvero aham eva vidyo. Vedanta krita veda vidya saham. He is saying in 15th chapter that I am to be known from the Vedas. I am knowledge. I am the Vedas. I am the compiler of Vedas and I am to be known. So in the same, but they don't know about Krishna. Even Pakasana Saraswati, initially he could not chant the name of Krishna because he was so, what do you call, stubborn in your heart. And he can chant Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name. Oh, Chaitanya, you will comment. But by this chanting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that vibration itself purifies his presence, purifies his existence. And by that one, he got the mercy through the divine arrangement of the Brahmana with the Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar, and he got. So Prabhupada mentions in many of these lectures about the quality of a leader. So it is not that they possess and they really exhibit it directly. Okay, now I have studied all this, stop all these things, studying the Vedantas and all, with giving all the commentaries. But they know what is the purpose, what is the prayojan to attain love of God. Can you take him inside? Yeah. So take the prayojan. Final thing is, when, what is our purpose of that? Because he's saying, Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Eva Kevalam, Kolo Nasteva, 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 Gati Ranyata. That is the one which is given in the Shastric injunctions, that you follow this path and you get the result. All the Vedic, in the third chapter you can find out what has to be done, what not has to be done. In the next section you can see the leader's qualities, as well as he was bewildered, Arjuna was bewildered, and he was saying it is better not to follow others' religions than to follow your soul. Means many instances he is saying, Prabhupada giving in his purport example that like Parshuram, he was born as a Brahmin, but he acted as a Kshatriya. Vishwamitra, he was Kshatriya, but he acted as a Brahmin. But they can act like that because they are in transcendental platform. In a spiritual platform, when they are acting in that way, you can see the varieties. Parasya Saktir Vividheva Shruyate. Because in the same Vedanta Sutra, you can find out that there are many different things you can ascertain from the sutras. And why they are coming up as a Parshuram, he is a great leader. You can consider he's all incarnations from the spiritual Krishnas. Everybody has, you can consider him as a leader, as Ram, a leader to Krishna, as Parshuram, Dattatreya, Hansa Avatar, Hayagriva, and many other things you can consider them as a leader. So why Parshuram acted against this one? Now we may raise questions that why Parshuram acted against Krishna? Sorry, against the religious principles. Any questions? Anybody wants to give an answer? My microphone is there if somebody. Any comments? Mohan? Prabhu? Mataji wanted to say? So sometimes it is said, if something you do not know, better you follow it. Let's say I was reading about some of the topics in Bhagavatam, and it was very unclear. Even though read four times, still you will not get it. Once you will get the things, but you will not accept it, kind of things. Sometimes you get it. I get it, but I don't think so. It comes like I. So in that case, he is giving a comment on Prabhupada that you better follow it. So that is the quality of a follower. When you accept a leader, then there should not be any doubts. First thing is that if your diagnosis is wrong, then even though if submit to any wrong leader, then also you're gone, you're spoiled or ruined. So your diagnosis, and even though how brilliant I am, how intellectual I am, so that my diagnosis will be perfect. Nothing like that. My diagnosis may not be perfect. But if you somehow accidentally, but this or that way, if you somehow follow on the path and surrender to Krishna and Prabhupada by divine arrangement or by this arrangement, still your life will be successful. Because you followed the real master. Prahlad Maharaj giving one example that who is a real master, who is a real leader, and who is a real follower. In Bhagavatam, 7th canto, he is giving, a real master does not give some benedictions for his own prestige or his status quo to his disciples. By my mystic power, I produced gold. I give you 10 pounds because otherwise my dignity will be gone. He's also nonsense. He's not a real master. A real follower also does not ask any material benedictions from the real master. It's very contradictory and complimentary. When Narsingadev appeared and offered something to Prahlad Maharaj, you take whatever you like to take. Now I am satisfied. I am pleased with your service. Pleased all with your tribulations you accepted. He's saying that, what are you asking? Am I a merchant? You are my leader. You are my master. You are my Prabhu. I just want a devotional service. But finally, Lord was pushing hard. Take something. Then he said, okay, even though if you wanted to do, give me, then give me one thing, that please excuse my father and liberate my father from these offenses he did against me and against you. That's the only thing I want. That's why you see the quality of a leader, the quality of a pure devotee. They should set the examples. That's why Yadya Acharati Shrestha, they should set the examples. So here I think I wanted to stop and just raise some question if anybody has, or any further comments. Microphone here, Prabhuji.
Yes. One comment.
Yes.
So along the lines of the example you gave, Prahlad Maharaj and the Lord, Narsimhadev, would the situation of Arjun and Krishna be similar when he surrendered to him and asked him, I'm confused on the battlefield now. You are my master, I am your devotee, give me advice. In that context, Krishna told him to go and fight. So that is an activity, wouldn't that be an activity involving a occupation in the material world? He's telling a soldier, go and fight. How are we to interpret that instruction?
Okay, so Prabhuji brought one good question, that in comparisons with Narsingadev and Prahlad Maharaj intimate relationship here, how do you think that Arjuna is asking to Krishna, Krishna is asking Arjuna to fight in the war, in the battlefield? So same question was asked, and in the beginning of, let me read that translation for you. If you open text 3.1.1. Same question you asked, so that I will repeat from there, so it will be more clearer. Arjuna said, O Janardana, O Keshava, why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare? If you think that intelligence is better than fruity work, then you will see. This is the same question, right? Kind of. That is the one which Krishna is, and he is saying, my intelligence is bewildered by your equivocal instructions. Therefore, please tell me decisively which will be most beneficial for me. Then Krishna is saying, the Supreme Personality Godhead said, O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical, philosophical speculation, and others by devotional service. So it is saying that to Krishna is saying to Arjuna that you prefer the devotional service, which is the activities that is good for you. That is the one he is engaging. And he's trying to give, I don't want to read all this one, but the essence part is in the Karma Yoga, he is trying to give an example and highlight the importance of the Karma Yoga, Buddhi Yoga, or Bhakti Yoga. And that's why Arjuna is still not convinced, but later part of this chapter he is getting convinced. But the same question he was asking, whatever in your mind, and it has been clarified at the end of this chapter, and the fourth chapter if you read, more clarity is there. Any Mataji?
So he recommends devotional service is better, but he's still telling him to go out there and fight.
Yes.
So that instruction has been given. So we are to take something more than that. He wants to say something more. Go and fight. But then from this extension, it would be don't be attached to results and do it without victory or defeat. There would have to be something more to that.
Mm-hmm.
And since you open up this discussion, what would come later on, I guess we have to connect to some other verses where Krishna says that go and fight, but whatever you do, try to dedicate it to me. So there has to be that dovetailing to Krishna, that even though you're going to go and fight,
yes,
you have to connect it to me in some sense or the other.
Right. So in this, I think, in 3:24-25, if you read also this translation, in that section when Krishna is saying that, even though you work for me, there is a chance that you may fall down. There is a chance that you may fall down. And he was giving many examples, like how the lust is there in your senses, in your mind and intelligence. And just like embryo in the womb, it is covered so that all your intelligence is covered. But when you open up, you will see the intelligence. But now, even though you are very fixed and all, there is a chance. The greatest, safest road you can create, but there is a chance of accident. There is a chance of fall down. So he is teaching Arjuna that there is still the chance of fall down or you will bind the karma. But just think of me. In 9th chapter also he goes, he's saying, Manmana bhavo mad bhakto mad yaji mama namaskuru. If you think of me and do the work, because I instructed it. So there is no problem in partaking his instruction. He's clear. But even though if I take the instruction, even though if I deviate, just to think of me so that you'll be coming to the position.
Prabhuji, can you repeat, you told us about the pratigya, atato brahma jigyasa, and then the reason for that, aham brahmasmi. And then you talked about the udharans, ajamil dying, and then upnayan. Is upnayan equivalent to conclusion? What is upnayan? And an example of that, I failed to note that down.
Yeah, so upnayan is likely the theme, when we set up a theme, and it is trying to bring to an understanding. For example, you have the discovery of some sloka, then you find out what is it for me. Then the understanding is, you relate to yourself. For example, you relate to yourself and get conviction. That I am now convinced and I don't need further. But finally you get the nigamaya, which is the final stage where you get more examples. Then your understanding is more clear, crystal clear. The point is, there are some decision point, right? So from A, you make a decision, from B you make a decision. It is closer to make a decision, but you are about to make a decision, but you need a final say. Supplement. So it is just before final decision you wanted to make is the stage. Means udharana, you get an understanding, you got really clear. Now you wanted to choose this path and go to the next step. Or you wanted to make sure that you want to make a decision, yes or no. You are not a confused state. But the nigama state, when it is come, is you become more crystal clear. And then finally, to give you, strengthen your faith to really commit or make the final decision, it gives you supplement from different Vedic scriptures. And that gives you into your heart. And that's why it is complete, from pratigya to the final stage.
So you had mentioned that sometimes when you read the scriptures or when you read the purport, you say, I understand it, but I don't get it. Like, you know, I get it, but I still don't believe in that. So this means that you have not yet, and then you start reading more and you still don't get it. So you haven't reached the nigama, you are not exiting yet.
Yeah, you are not even that.
So the one way to still come to a conclusion, even though you don't understand,
no, you don't,
surrender?
Yes,
surrender?
That's a good point. So maybe those guys who are not in the beginning stage, we are talking about the Vedic Shruti, about five stages, which is primarily the Pratigya, Hetu, and Udaharan, and what do I follow? Upanayan and Nigamaya. So in that one, what the five, this is the theme to conclude for one chapter of this Vedanta Sutras. So what Mataji is bringing up, that suppose you do not get into that point, means you are good on first Pratigya, you understand that, you understand the what are the reasons for it, then you also understand the Udharanas. But the next two step is not clear. So unless these five things have been not completely clear, you really do not conclude anything. And even though that conclusion, you will still have some disparity. Means what it does is you need to go back to again Pratigya to revisit. I'm giving an example. Advaita Acharya Thakur, a great scholarly person, he's incarnation of Lord. He reads Bhagavad Gita every day. The only thing is that he has done pratigya, I will not take my prasadam unless I am convinced of the understanding of the Bhagavad Gita. He is reading the same Bhagavad Gita same day, but the new realizations come every day. That doesn't mean that it's an interpretation. It's a new realizations when you come across a different thing. And you have to understand from a certain perspective of a problem that what realization it is. So once you come to the conclusion, then he goes for this prasadam role. So similarly, even though our mind is not convinced in something, just like I am telling you an example. Today I was reading about Jambudipa. Jambudipa has seven islands. It has Harivarsha, Ketukana Varsha, Ramyak Varsha, Ilavrati Varsha, and many other Varsha. So Harivarsha, where Prahlad Maharaj offered his prayer to Narsingadev, that is Harivarsha. Ramyak Varsha, who has Lord Ramachandra is there. Kim Purusa Varsha, who has right now Hanuman is staying there, right now, in this time, present time. So there are different Varshas are there. Now when you see that the Himalayas description is given as 80,000 miles, I said, okay, hold a minute. So in that case, I see it's likely 33,000 feet, right? So where I am now, I got this example, I got this one, it is Vedic literature. I will have a doubt now. Doubt in the sense means I do not have much clarity what Himalaya means. And when you call it a deepa, means there is no water. We call deepa means there is a water, right? But space deepa. We all are in the Ilavrati Varsha, it's likely planisphere and many other things. Now, when you explode to your mind, you will be confused and you will see that you are very poor knowledge. That's why Prabhupada also many times mentioned, don't measure the length and breadth of the mountains it is given. Sometimes it is said, one tree is 110 yojanas, which is likely 800 miles. We have never seen. But whatever Shastra is given, sometimes you just follow it, accept it. Then you will be much clearer. So in that case, you don't bring your mind, don't bring your intelligence in there, follow as it is, without further questioning or further comprehension on the visibility of how this looks like. For example, Sumeru Mountain, which is made up of gold. Sumeru Mountain is made up of gold, which is likely 90,000 yojanas and many other things have been described. And there are seven, the varshas, which has been peripheral to all these four in the this side, three in the north side, three in the south side, two in the east, and Gandhamardhan Parvat, which is in the western side. And then all the varshas have been defined. Now the question comes that we do not get it. And even though how hard you try, because your intelligence is not that fertile, so whatever has been given, you just accept it.
So I'm just thinking that maybe from pratigya and hetu, you can just jump to nigamet through, because we have faith and surrender.
Yeah, from even to once, it is not a sequential as defined like that, but it is a structure which has been defined. I mean, the structure means, if you do not get a udharan, you really don't get the picture. Suppose, if you get a udharan, you can explain to others what it means. Sometimes you got a conviction, we don't find the words to explain to someone else. But you are yourself convinced. Suppose I find something, the absolute truth, one aspect of the absolute truth, that there is a spiritual time, which has no past, no present, no future. In this material world, there is no present. What I am talking past, it is already past. There is nothing present in this material world. But in the spiritual world, it's different. There is only present, nothing past and future. Need to follow it. So similarly, some of the things we cannot, in the same sequence, it might not go. But it cannot even express. The best thing is, whatever structure has been given, that start is the pratigya, better to go with that one, with udaharan itel, then the what are the understanding it is bringing to you, and what are the Vedic supplements, then you must be referred from Upanishads, like Katha Upanishads, or from Puranas. Then your understanding is little bit clear, and your conviction will be more matured. If you just point into one, then it may not be that, your realizations will not be that deeper. Somebody may break you.
Yes. I totally agree to that, because as a child, without going through udharans and upanishads, I mean, I believed in God, and I believed in Krishna. But now, you know, going through the Shastra, now comes the question like, you know, does he have a form? Does he not have a form? What's the universal form? Where does he live? And all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Right.
And the thing is, like, you know, as a child, if somebody started an asashtat with me, I would have never been able to convince them. It's just this knowledge that, you know, you have to acquire to be able to talk on that level with people.
So, yeah, it makes sense. For example, even Prabhupada, many times he will write, a devotee, if he's chanting always, he doesn't need to read any books. That's correct. But in other instances, he will write. In just like I was reading when he was fighting with Prakashananda Saraswati, a devotee is always conversant with all Vedic literatures. So what, which one to follow? So it is sometimes the instances and the situation-wise he gives the instruction. He was talking about Haridas Thakur is chanting, it is required. But he's really Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's not a fool. He knows all the Vedic literature. He has all conviction. That doesn't mean that you don't be like a monkey. You show up with the Vedic scriptures. But when there is a challenge coming up, just like Jiva Goswami, when somebody is coming and fighting against Rupa Goswami to write it down, he come, hey, come on here. You said you defeated Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, let me fight with you. Then in 5 minutes he can defeat him. But that is not our purpose. So all these things, you know, come into those level of understanding. So it is good always to have some referential knowledge from many scriptures so that when you go and present to someone, if you have even mundane knowledge, that will help in your preaching. If you go to tell something about, you know, okay, this is the cosmic things you can tell, and then how moon is situated, how sun is situated, how they are moving and all, and then you can present it from scriptures and from mundane knowledge. When Sadaput Das, he has written the book, he has always given, this is the calculation from mundane science from sun to moon. This is the calculation from this planet to this planet. This is from the Vedic. So it is giving a comparison analysis. So that's why. But our conclusion, our goal should be to really give the value from the scriptural evidence which is coming from the Shastras, which is from Nyaya, Shruti or Smriti. Smriti Prastha. Any other questions from anyone? Any comments? Yes, please grab the microphone.
Hi, Hari Rama.
Hare Krishna.
I've heard it said somewhere that it's appropriate to say Hare Krishna and then Hare Rama after that, even though Rama came before Hare Krishna, just because they're eternal pastimes, like you said. Can you comment on that, or was I even in the right neighborhood?
Okay, good. So Prabhuji was saying that is Hare Rama, Hare Rama is chant, Hare Krishna, or we should chant Hare Rama. There is no such boundaries and all these boundaries in your mind. But only thing I just wanted to add, the actual mantra is Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That is the actual mantra. But that has been chanted by a learned Brahmins, in not loudly, not in a public place. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he introduced this mantra, reverse it back to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and they chanted in public. So at the time, all the smart brahmanas, they complained that why this mantra, such a Vedic Shruti mantra, should not be chanted in public. It should be chanted in your hair with your mind. So they complained about him, and then that why this mantra has been chanted. So Mahaprabhu said that this mantra is now twisted. It can be chanted with that different sequence like Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. But not the, nonetheless, we are not qualified, or nobody should qualify to change any mantras like that. It is by changing that mantra, he has given his potency. Nija Sarva Shakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu given his potency by changing this. There are some people in India still chant Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But that mantra should be chanted just like Gayatri mantra within your heart. A Brahmin who is wearing a thread, those people should chant. Now, Hare Krishna, anybody who is walking on the street, who are chanting and dancing, because it is his power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he given his potency and his power to spread in that way. That's why it has been chanted like that. But people don't get that message. Oh, it is this way, it is that way. But you need to understand what is the reason behind the message about the mantra, if you are questioning about that. Make sense? Okay, it's last one, then we...
You had mentioned that we should strive to use Vedic evidence whenever we're presenting an argument or whenever we're discussing something and trying to convince someone of something. But oftentimes we're dealing with people who have no... they don't even accept the Vedas, or they don't, or they may accept part of the Vedas, but not the Bhagavatam or something like this. So... How do you go about preaching? How do you go about dealing with someone who doesn't even accept the basics of Vedic knowledge, and who actually sees the descriptions in the Vedas of the truth as either inconsistent or as wrong, And yeah.
Yeah, the best thing is, you know, you can apply your own style. Whenever, suppose, if you are going for preaching to a non-believer of Vedas, or a partly believer of Vedas, or his own theory of Vedas, means I give three examples. One person who believes in, there is one Upanishad, I forgot, that is the only thing believes. They don't believe in Gita or any other things. He said that is the one which is defined. I said, yes. If he's so stubborn, so adamant in his approach, there is nothing I can break it. That is good for you, you can believe in that way. Because if you preach too much, it will be bad for you and bad for him. There are a couple of people who give a room. Who give a room means, okay, I believe in this way, but tell me what you understand. There are people, right? In that one, it is a psychological understanding or relationship between you and the person whom you are dealing. When you open up, then you say that, hey, this is my understanding and this is your understanding. Now, let's map. When there is a room, there is a chance of things you can relay back and forth. There is third kind of people who have no idea what Veda says or something. Then the best example, simple thing you can say, hey, just see, Ganges is pure belief. I think those who do not understand Veda, they said yes. At least those who are from Asian background, Indian background, they will say yes. Not, I don't know, American background may not know about that. If you say, go and say, hey, cow dung is pure, they will laugh at you. But if you see, depends on what kind of persons you are dealing, what kind of cultural background they are coming from, and then you can establish very simple fact that cow dung is pure. Then, even though they don't believe in Veda, they said that from scientist point of view, they have proven it, that it has all the antiseptic. They have proven it, cow dung has all the antiseptic, and which is true. So from a simple thing, you can go to the beyond one, whichever he is arguing of. And the best thing, if you cannot, maybe give a book, maybe you can read on your own. Because we are not qualified to really convince in 2 minutes to someone to change his faith. He had been coming from millions of years throughout his age, having some contamination, and you cannot change by your presence 2 minutes. Better the Prabhupada's book can help him change instead of fighting. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, have your comments?
No, another thing that can also be said, there is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is speaking to Arjun in the second chapter, and he's saying that the Vedas, and if I cite that verse, it is 245 on page 119. He's saying that the Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. O Arjun, become transcendental to these three modes. Be free from dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. So there, Krishna is making a distinction between what the Vedas are teaching and what is this knowledge that is there in the Bhagavad Gita, which is transcendental knowledge. It is knowledge about the self, which is different from the body, the soul, and the super soul, the Lord from whom this self has been created. And he's asking Arjun to get situated in the self, get away from the flowery things that the Veda is promising, because most of the things that the Veda promises are the karmakanda activities that one does in order to achieve a certain goal. It's a slow process. And so here a distinction is made to get away from that and become situated in the self. So one could say to someone, well, yeah, sure, you may not believe in the Vedas, but the Vedas deal mainly with the three modes of material nature. This knowledge that we are talking about is transcendental knowledge. It's knowledge about the self and the super soul, different from the body in which everybody today is caught up in the process of sense gratification. One could say something like that.
Very good. Thank you. Yep, there are many ways you can adopt. All right, so we'll have Aarti now. And thank you everyone for coming and joining the Sunday Feast program. Hari Bol.